Hallelujah. If you'd stand as our pastor comes forward, Pastor Russell T. Perkins, to give us a word, to bless our souls, to bless our hearts, pierce our hearts. Those that are listening on Facebook, hallelujah, get ready, get ready, get ready. Listen carefully. Put them dishes down. Put that book down. Hallelujah. Put those listening ears on. Hallelujah. And get ready to get a blessing from God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Happy Mother's Day for the mothers, the aunts, the godmothers. If you're an educator, if you are an educator, there's a principle called in loco parentis. That means that you are in the substitute position of parents when you teach those children. Anybody in that kind of role, any woman in that role, happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. And then we're going to go to Exodus 2. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for another Mother's Day. And Lord, we thank you for our mothers and our grandmothers, our aunts, hallelujah, older sisters, others who tended to us, Lord. Hallelujah, we praise you and we thank you. Thank you for all the godmothers, Lord. Hallelujah, and the role that they play. Hallelujah, to step in. Hallelujah, when needed. And we thank you, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. And Lord, you gave us mothers. You gave us fathers. You gave us grace. You gave us family. You gave us local assemblies with a spiritual family. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we're so glad about the blood that was shed for us. Hallelujah. It was horrific. Hallelujah. It's not something we would have wished on anybody, but it produced so much. And we thank you. Hallelujah, for the opportunity to have our sins cleansed. Hallelujah. Before you. Hallelujah. Our holy God. Lord, bless our families, Lord. Bless those under the sound of my voice. Sanctify your word, which is already sanctified, but sanctified in the hearts and minds of the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags or the reeds by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, among the reeds, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. We trust that God will bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Hallelujah. We're just going to talk from a simple message, a thought today, a way out of no way. When we see this story, we read those verses, you probably know what led to it. The children of Israel had been in captivity in Egypt for hundreds of years. And they became so numerous. God's hand was on them. They were in slavery, but that slavery turned out to be an incubator. And they were fruitful, and they multiplied, and they were healthy, and they were strong, and they had the favor of God on them. Yet they were oppressed and mistreated, and the Pharaoh got crazy and started being tougher. And then he issued a decree that any child that was born that was a boy, that they would kill that child. And then at the end, but they had some midwives. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. Some godmothers. Hallelujah. That would not kill those children. They had told them to kill the male child as soon as it was born. And then toward the end of chapter 1, it says that they were supposed to take every boy child and put them in the river. Well, that's what Jochebed, hallelujah, Moses' mother, did. She put them in the river, but she put them in a waterproof basket of reeds in the river. And she, no doubt, asked her daughter, and from what I can tell, it must have been Miriam, Moses' older sister, to watch out just to see what would happen to the baby, a three-month-old baby in a basket in the river with a decree of death on his life. He hadn't had a chance to do anything wrong, but the decree of death was on his life, and they were in captivity. And they didn't have natural power to overcome what Pharaoh had told them. Seems to me they needed a way out of nowhere at that time. And then, so as it was, Pharaoh's daughters came. Now, Moses wasn't an ordinary baby. They said he was a goodly child. Some verses say beautiful. So he was good looking, but not only good looking, he had God's favor on him. And when Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket and saw the baby, he wept, he cried, and her heart was moved with compassion. And she wanted to keep the child alive, even though there was a decree from her own dad to drown the child. Isn't that terrible? Hallelujah. And God moved on her. And just so happened, big sister came and said, you want me to get one of the women of the Hebrews to nurse this child? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yeah. And she did. She got her mother, who was the mother of the child, to nurse the child, and then got paid for it on top of that. Hallelujah. And it was a beautiful story. But, you know, we think about Moses and what God did with him. Hallelujah. And God did something. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how Moses is the main character in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, other than God, of course, the main human character. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If they had drowned, what would they have to write about in those four books? But what would the Holy Ghost inspired to write in those books if they had drowned him? And God makes a way out of no way. And look who God used. He used the sisters, didn't he? The midwife, big sister, The mama. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's daughter. Hallelujah. These women were mothers or in the role of mothers. And God had them strategically placed. And God put something in them that gave them courage. And the parents of Moses had to have courage to do that. Because let me read it to you. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It takes faith, hallelujah, when it looks like you don't have no way out. It takes faith, praise God, to go forward when it looks like you can't go forward. It takes faith to trust God for something that seems impossible, improbable, unlikely, where the way is not visible with our natural eye. Hallelujah. But you know we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, praise God. And God is waiting, standing at the door, wanting to make a way out of no way and open a door of blessing and ministry for his people, praise God. But we got to operate in the currency of faith, praise the Lord. It took faith for the midwives not to disobey the decree. It took faith for that, she's described as a girl, for Moses' big sister to hang around and see what happened. It took faith for the parents to entrust their beautiful boy to the Nile River in a basket. Hallelujah. It took faith, praise the Lord, for Pharaoh's daughter to let the move of God move her to do something that would violate not only the decree of the land, but the decree of her dad. Hallelujah. And then there was more. He grew up. She raised him up. It said she adopted him as her own son. Hallelujah. And raised him up. And then he got to be a grown man, about 40, got in a situation, ended up killing an Egyptian, hiding him in the sand, found out that it was known. They didn't have to do CSI. They knew it was him. Hallelujah. And he said, this thing is known. And then he said, feet don't fail me now. And he left, and he ended up on the backside of the desert, on the western side of the desert, for 40 years. Hallelujah. No doubt, nobody in Egypt expected to see him again. He's tending the goats. He's blessed to have a family out there. He's blessed to have a father-in-law that he had a good relationship, that gave him good advice. Praise the Lord. And he's just doing his work. He's been faithful over some goats. He's been faithful over a flock. Praise the Lord. And he's fumbling around doing his job. And then here comes a burning bush experience as described in Exodus 3. And there's a bush that's burning, but it's not consumed. Praise God, hallelujah. Sometimes we get in a situation when things get kind of hot in the kitchen, right? You know, hallelujah. It can get hot, particularly as a married man, right? Hallelujah. It can get real hot. You feel like you need a way out of nowhere. Hallelujah. And as you grow older as a married man, you figure out that maybe I need to keep my mouth and pray. Hallelujah. And then let the Lord work. And then when your wife asks you to do something, your first response is, yes. You know? And then God shows you how to get out of those situations, hallelujah, where you have no way. But a way out of no way, and there was the burning bush, and then that wasn't miraculous enough. God spoke to him, hallelujah. At that point, hallelujah, used angelic appearances. He just, all kind of stuff happened. And told him to go back to Egypt Hallelujah. From where he was a fugitive, go back there, praise God. And I guess nowadays there's no statute of limitations on murder, and maybe there wasn't back then. Because he had murdered. He got mad and murdered an Egyptian. Knew it was wrong, tried to hide him in the sand, shallow grave, and it was known. And so tell Moses, who's an expert in tending to sheep. Now, he was raised in Egypt, praise God, and so he knew the fine learnings and things of Egypt, praise God. So he's going to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, hallelujah, let my people, and Pharaoh had been his honorary grandfather. And he gonna say, let my people, granddaddy, let my people go. Or whoever was in office at that time, if the old Pharaoh had that. And he goes back and he talks to the Lord and he says, I can't do it. I can't talk. Hallelujah. And the Lord told him, you know, if you need be, your brother Aaron will be your spokesman. And then went through plagues. And each plague, it just seemed like there's no way out of this. And there was. And then the last plague about the Passover, the picture of the blood on the doorpost, the picture of blood that would be shed centuries and centuries later on Calvary. Hallelujah. And the firstborn of Egypt died, and the firstborn of Israel lived, and the death angel, when he saw the blood on the doorpost, hallelujah, hallelujah, and it was a whole lot of them, praise God. They needed a whole lot of Passover lambs, praise God, hallelujah, and God made sure that they had that. They were slaves, but they had all the Passover lambs that they needed, and God delivered them, and when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over. Hallelujah. How about a way out of no way? Hallelujah. Our God specializes in these kinds of situations when we get to the end of whatever we can figure out. Praise the Lord. And he makes a way out of no way. After the 10 plagues, after the Passover. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's army is chasing them. They ain't got nothing. Some of the sisters, they gave them some jewelry, but they, you know, you can't fight off, you can't fight off spears and stuff with the jewelry that they got. And they chasing them to the sea. And so Red Sea is in front of them. Pharaoh's army is behind them. Hallelujah. And there's this Moses, the one drawn out of the Nile River, the goodly child. Now, 80 years old. I don't know many people who get called to the ministry or called to prophetic office or called to lead God's people at age 80, but that's what happened. Hallelujah. And God used him in a mighty way. And he got to the end, hallelujah, of land. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's army closing in. And the Lord said, what's that you got in your hand? And he stretched out his hand and the sea parted. And nothing like that, quite like that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In terms of a whole sea had happened before. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then nothing like it had happened before. We see some smaller things later through Elijah and Elisha. And Joshua. But no, not before. Nothing like that had happened. And the sea opened up, and they walked through as on dry land. But they had still had a problem, because Pharaoh's army could come through the same way they did. Hallelujah. Unless the Lord shut off the way that was meant for his children. And he did. And the army drowned it, and they got to the other side. And then Big Sister picked up a tambourine and led the other sisters in praise. They worshiped the Lord they thanked the Lord, hallelujah, for the victory. That like a few weeks later, they get to a place called Meribah, and the water's poisonous. They in the desert. This is weeks after the Red Sea. Okay. Another obstacle. And then the Lord showed him to cut down a tree, to put the tree in the water. He put the tree in the water, and the waters that were bitter became sweet. What did Moses do? Hallelujah. He gave God his bitter waters. What about you? The bitter waters in your life, do you give them to the Lord? Hallelujah. They went through two other occasions. They got to a rock. Hallelujah. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. One time he struck the rock. Hallelujah. Both times water gushed out of a rock in the desert so that they wouldn't die. Then what? Manna from heaven. Bread from heaven. A direct emblem of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Every morning it was there. Hallelujah. And you couldn't keep it except on the Sabbath day. They could keep it and it would last through the Sabbath. God made a way. How could you feed at least a million people, some scholars say more, in the desert unless God made a way? Out of no way. How many times have we been faced with something? Hallelujah. First lady and I know. Hallelujah. She was sick twice in her young adult life while we were married and had four children. Once because of an overprescription of drugs. Once because of an acute appendicitis. And God brought her through both times. Praise God. We prayed. We stood by faith. Hallelujah. We didn't have any ability to heal. We didn't have any ability to fix. Hallelujah. We got up to the Red Sea and we stretched out our prayer, hallelujah, to the Lord. And we took our problems here on earth and put it in the jurisdiction of heaven. You know, the Lord already knew about it. We weren't telling him something he did not know, but we had to give it to him. We had to give it to the place where there was power. We had to invoke the jurisdiction of heaven. We had to trust him. We had to step out by faith, praise God. And God did it, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. That sometimes when your back is against the wall, hallelujah, we have to ask God to help us to go against the grain, hallelujah, to go against, praise God, what the world is saying. Praise God. Back in Moses' day, the world was saying, kill all those babies, praise God, hallelujah. But God had midwives. God had, hallelujah, a mama and a big sister and a daddy, hallelujah, that said, not so. No, 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 no. We got faith in God. Praise. This is a proper child. This is a child, hallelujah, with the favor of God on it. Praise God. We don't want that blood on our hands. Praise God. If it be so that the Lord allow it, so be it. Praise God. But we are not going to take this child's life. We're going to, hallelujah, do what we can, praise God, hallelujah. We're going to put together this thing. We're going to line it with pitch. Sometimes in our prayer closet, hallelujah, we need to talk to God, hallelujah, praise God. We need to ask him to do stuff. We need to get into details, hallelujah. I want this basket, hallelujah, and I want it lined a certain way. I want it sealed a certain way, Lord, hallelujah. And I need you to put your blessing and stamp of approval on it, praise God, hallelujah. And hallelujah, while we're still talking to the Lord, hallelujah, we tell him, I trust you, Lord. Oh, this baby's precious to us, but I trust you for this baby, hallelujah.
I trust you. Hallelujah, praise God. I trust you at the Red Sea. I trust you, hallelujah. I trust you when the deaf angel is looking. I trust you. I trust you, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, when the water's bitter. I trust you when there's no water. I trust you when there's no food. I trust you when my resources are not enough. I trust you when I can't figure it out. I trust you to work it out while I'm trying to figure it out. I trust you, Lord, hallelujah, when I don't know what to do. I trust you, hallelujah, because you specialize, hallelujah, in things that are too big for us. And Lord, I just trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what kind of way you're going to come. Hallelujah, I just trust you, though. I can't order you around. You are a sovereign God. You spoke everything into existence. Hallelujah. But I do know how to ask. And I do know how to trust. And I do know how to expect you to do something. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that goes against the expectation of the community. And I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. To make a way out of no way. And the Lord did that. It's a shame that Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. Hallelujah. But you know, hallelujah, he struck that rock. That was an act of disobedience. And of course, there was a declaration from God that everybody over 20, except Joshua and Caleb. Didn't say Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. We're going to die before they got to the promised land. And Moses didn't make it in to the promised land, naturally speaking. But centuries and centuries later, we find him in the 17th chapter of Matthew, and recorded in other places in the gospel. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration with his top three lieutenants. And Jesus shone like a heavenly body. Hallelujah. It wasn't like a singer that goes to a concert and they put on something saddened and they got all bedazzled. He was shining. His raiment was shining like a heavenly body, like a supernova or something like that. Hallelujah. And there appeared on this mountain, I want you to know this mountain was in the promised land. Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Centuries later, he got to the promised land. Naturally speaking, he did not in his life. Spiritually speaking, of course, God's man would be in the spiritual promised land. And there, hallelujah, praise God, they were talking about Jesus' death on the Mount of Transfiguration, hallelujah, which would be accomplished. Hallelujah. Praise God. A way out of nowhere, huh? I bet nobody thought that he'd end up centuries later on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Promised Land when he died. Hallelujah. And the angels, the scripture tells us, buried his body. Hallelujah. So, you got a highlight bill. Your blood sugar is high. Your blood pressure is high. You have a diagnosis of this or that. Hallelujah. You got family troubles. You got some hard-headed kin folks. Some crazy uncles. Some people in your family that almost want to fight. You can't hardly invite them to Thanksgiving because they're too crazy. Too sensational. They might pull out some knives if they, somebody talking about, well, man didn't walk on the moon. Then the other uncle said, yes, they did. Then the other uncle said, no, they didn't. That was a hoax. And then I was saying, yes, they did walk on. Next thing you know, somebody's trying to pull out a switchblade or something. Yeah, we got problems, right? Hallelujah. Issues. People acting cruel on jobs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see this cruelty that was in the mind of Pharaoh? That ain't gone anywhere. Hallelujah. It's just taking different forms. It's gotten more sophisticated. Hallelujah. It looks like this, but it's really there. It looks like somebody in a suit and tie holding a high office, but it's that same kind of nasty spirit that would order little babies thrown in the river. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, we can't put our trust in people. We can't put our trust in earthly institutions. Hallelujah. Everybody in here that's old enough, you should vote every chance you get, but you can't put your trust in that. Hallelujah. We got to put our trust in the one, hallelujah, that parted the Red Sea, that allowed Moses to be adopted by his enemy's daughter. Hallelujah. That allowed these midwives to stand up under the pressure and do what was right before a holy God, praise God. In every generation, there's evil. In every generation, there are people that are killing and raping, praise God, and trying to rob people and don't care whether they live or die or have something to eat or nothing. In every generation, there's some people that will stand up in the name of the Lord and say, not so. I am not going to be part of this. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand for what's right. And I can't in good conscience before a holy God do what is expected in the community. Do what is decreed by whomever. Hallelujah. I got to live my life before an audience of one. Because he knows all about me. And even though what he knows about me or about you might not be all that pretty, his grace is sufficient. And he has power. Hallelujah. His arm is not short that he can't save. He delights to bless us. He delights to deliver us. He delights to deal with that part of us that's under the waterline. Hallelujah. That part that's invisible to the naked eye. That part that we don't really sometimes observe. And he knows that our hearts can be desperately wicked. And who, as a human being, can know it? But he knows it. He has searched us and known us. He knows our thoughts before we think it. Hallelujah. And he knows how to take something wrong and turn it right side up. I don't hear anything else about children being drowned in the Red Sea after this. After Moses, maybe the record is just silent on it, but we don't hear about that practice at this season anymore. Even after Moses had to go on the lam and live on the backside of the desert. Hallelujah. Praise God. That spirit was still there. Hallelujah. But anytime you deal with a bully, you got to stand up. Praise God. I got scars on my body still now. Because my mama told me to stand up to bullies. And back then, I know this is the only thing that I think is worse back then than it is now. Because it's worse now for children. So much bullying, cyberbullying, and all that, shaming and all of that. But back then, when I was in fifth and sixth grade, I'm 10, 11 years old. We had 14 and 15-year-old boys in the same class. Why? They've been to reform school. They done got left a couple times. They bigger than the teacher. Hallelujah. They criminals. Sitting up in the English class at fifth grade. And they see me, the littlest kid in the class, and they start, we're going to eat good today. We're going to take his, My mama had already told me, and I knew she hit harder than they did. And so I fought. Hallelujah. I came home with bloody noses, but I never came home with an empty stomach saying somebody done took my lunch money. I ate. Hallelujah. Two of the worst ones, I had to fight one of them. I didn't actually have to fight the other one. He pushed me and I pushed him back and teacher intervened. And I was going to get whooped, you know. But I wasn't going to be bullied. The other one, we kind of fought to a draw. At least that's what my friend said. We fought to a draw. One May Day. This is May Day now. I'm dressed up in a sombrero. And somebody starts stuff for me out on the playground. Anyway, my point is this. That spirit is in the world. Hallelujah. And we're thankful I don't believe they let 15-year-olds be in, you know, fifth and sixth grade. But we had to deal with that. Praise God. Both of those big bullies ended up getting killed. I think they both ended up doing time before they were killed. Hallelujah. And sometimes God will put you through situations. Hallelujah. You said, why did I have to go through this? Well, what I went through was small potatoes compared to what other people went through. Abuse, molestation, all that kind of stuff. And don't think I don't have compassion. I think that because I didn't go through it, that I don't have. I do. My heart really, really hurts for that. Praise God. And if somebody out there on Facebook, hallelujah, somebody who listens to this later, somebody even in this room, has personal experience that relates to what I'm talking about, hallelujah, God can make a way out of no way. Over that seems too big, over that seems like there's no answer, there's no way out, hallelujah, in terms of your pain. Hallelujah. You try to talk to somebody about it at some point in your life. They didn't get it. Or they didn't have the compassion. Hallelujah. Or they figured this or they figured that. And then it comes down to this. Hallelujah. Is God able to furnish? This is in Psalm 78, about verse 19. Is God able to furnish a table in the wilderness? And I can make it shorter than that for whatever it is. Can God? And the answer, of course, is yes. But it's painful. It's difficult. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm still, by God's grace, trying to get over or past or whatever the right word, the passing of my brother in March. Hallelujah. We knew he was sick. We knew that there was not a natural way out of what he was in. We knew that. We were not ignorant of that, of the diagnosis and the prognosis and all of that. Hallelujah. But I still wanted some more time with him. Hallelujah. And don't we all want more time? Even in things that are less serious. I don't know anybody who's ever gone on a vacation from a job and they come back, let me have one more day. Let me have one more week. Hallelujah. And so it is in our lives with our loved ones when they go away from him. Just one more day, just one more week, praise God. I wasn't ready yet, but you never be ready, praise God. And you just got to go before the Lord, hallelujah, and say, Lord, I know you make a way out of no way. I know you know the end from the beginning. I know you know the span of a year. I know you hold the oceans in the palm of your hand. I know you spoke everything into existence. I know you can speak victory over my heart and my emotions. I know you can make a way. I know you can press me through. I know you can lift me up. I know, Lord, hallelujah, praise God. And if need be, send some midwives in my life. If need be, hallelujah, send a Pharaoh's daughter. If need be, praise God, hallelujah, send me a big brother Aaron. Send me some help, Lord. I know you can do it. You do it however you want to. I'm not going to try to dictate to you how you do it. Praise God, hallelujah. But Lord, make a way out of nowhere. Help me get past what I can't get past. Lift me up out of the miry clay. Put my feet on a rock to stay. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I know you can do it. I won't murmur and complain. I won't, praise God, criticize you. I won't curse my situation. I won't curse my environment. I won't curse you. Hallelujah. Lord, see me through. Hallelujah. And then you find yourself still standing. We're still standing, aren't we, Minister Beverly? We're still standing, aren't we, Sister Carol? We're still standing, ain't we, First Lady? We're still standing, ain't we, Sister Samantha? God is able. God is able. God is able. Hallelujah. And all God's people said. All God's people said. Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this word to bless somebody. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.